Hi, good morning for all those listening now. I want to talk a little bit about some topics that were discussed on the call before we started the recording portion. With keeping in mind that it's a parshias here of Avraham and Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Avos HaKadoshim, you know, we say in Shemona Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We don't just say Elokei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, because we want to emphasize, actually, instead of shying away from the fact, we want to emphasize that each one of the Avos had a different relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam that was distinct. And one couldn't substitute their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam with the others. In other words, I can't do it your way. Avraham couldn't have a relationship with Hashem the way Yitzchak was doing it, so try to do it Yitzchak style, you know? That just wouldn't do. So Avraham did it Avraham style. Yitzchak said, well, that was Avraham style, I'm doing it my style. And Yaakov said, well, that was Avraham and Yitzchak style, I'm doing it my style, you know? And none of them could have, and Avraham and Yitzchak couldn't have done it Yaakov's way. And, of course, there's something special about the way Yaakov had a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, which has to do with why there's a Vav in Shemoneh Esrei, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'Elokei Yaakov. You bring in the Vav by Elokei Yaakov. The Elokei Yaakov relationship added the Vav. Because Yaakov, I mean, Al Pi Kabbalah, Yaakov is, as far as I understand, Yaakov is shayach to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mishpat, you know. Avraham was more Chesed, Yitzchak was more Gvura, and Yaakov is Shem Rachamim, which is Yudke Vavke, specifically the Vav in Yudke Vavke. The symbol of the Vav is it connects the upper world with the lower world, because the top of the Vav is a Yud, and then there's a line that's Mamshech downward. So the Yud refers to the Machshava, as it does in the beginning of Hashem's name. The first Yud is Machshava. And like Rashi says in Oz Yashir, on the word Yashir, look in the Rashi over there, that the Yud in the beginning of the word is planning for the future, which is Machshava. Like Yavo, he will arrive, you know. Yelech, he will go, you know. So to do something in the future means to think about it now. That's thinking, that's planning, that's future. It's not now, it's just the future. So it's Machshava. That's Oz Yashir, Rashi says in Oz Yashir over there. And that's why the Yud is Machshava, which is Chachma. And then eventually we get to the Vav, which refers to Rachmim and Yaakov Avinu in particular. So the name of Yaakov, Ve'Elokei Yaakov, that rings a bell to us and says, you know, that relationship is the main one for us. We're called Bnei Yisrael, not Bnei Avraham or Bnei Yitzchak. We're called Bnei Yisrael, meaning the sons of Yaakov, because that's the main derech for us. So Yaakov's derech was a mixture of Chesed and Gevurah together. I'm not going to elaborate too much on that, but somebody before the call brought up a topic of gratitude and fear, suggested as, you know, two suggestions of things to talk about, and I want to talk about both because they have to do with the same, they're flip sides of the same coin, okay, as far as I understand it. The reason that we find it so difficult to have gratitude and to live in gratitude is mainly because of fear, because we're afraid to lose what we have, so how good is it anyway? And we're afraid to, as the Mesilas Yesharim points out, by the way, in his Hakdama, he says, also Beveir Klal Chovos Adam Ba'olamo, talks about the fact that how good is Olam Hazeh anyway? Because you're sick, you have tzaras, you have troubles, you have this, and even if you have wealth, and even if a man should live 1,000 years, like it says in Koheles, and blah, 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 at the end you die. You know, you become dotard and you die. You know, the goods don't last and then you die anyway. So how good is it already anyway? You know, so he's right. From a philosophical point of view, therefore, don't devote yourself to Olam Hazeh. Don't be a fool. You know what I mean? Devote yourself to spiritual pursuits. Fine. But Lemaisa, his point is well made, that, you know, there's room for a person who's depressed and angry, resentful, and ungrateful about all the good he gets in Olam Hazeh, and the fact that he's just alive, which is a tremendous celebration in and of itself, just to be alive. You see that there's some logic to this person, basis for this person to be a nasty, angry, depressed, complaining person. Because, just open up the beginning of Mesillas Yesharim and see how Olam Hazeh sucks. And then you die. Oh, what's the point, you know? So, you see, this is another example of how you can misuse Torah. A person can misuse Torah. You can hear something that's true, and it can actually strengthen a bad midah in a person. This is what the Gra means when he says, Torah is like water. And then he asks, why is Torah named Shalalamayim? It's very simple. Because if you have a field of weeds and you pour water on it, weeds will grow incredibly better. If you have a field of fruit trees and you pour water on it, the fruit trees will grow incredibly better. That's what Torah is. It's not the fruit trees and it's not the wheat and it's not the weeds. It's water. It's the water you put on yourself. And if you are not ready to grow and you're not willing to grow, you're like a field of weeds. And you and I, if we're that way and we pour water, 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 water on it, Torah, 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 what's going to happen? The weeds will just grow incredibly more and more and more. Torah will make it worse, not better. So, when we say La'olam Yilmad Adam Torah V'yaseh Ma'asim Tovim Shelo Lishma, because from Shelo Lishma Bo Lishma, V'ha'ma'or Sheba Machzir L'mutav, you know, all this other kind of stuff, that, you know, Levi Tarasi Azuv, you know, Osi Azuv Sarasi Shamaru, because a Marshaba Yahzira Mamutav, you know, that kind of thing, that's for people who are ready and want. Open up Mikhtav Miliyahu, take a look. In the first and second Chalakim, he talks about this issue itself, exactly. Why is it that Torah makes some people worse and some people better? This is another study. But anyway, Lemaisa, when you have a person who's in our case, most of us on Gardner Eyes, most people on Gardner Eyes are not sex addicts. They're just, you know, you have a Yetzirah, you have a penis. It's a very hard generation with pornography everywhere. Your wife is never going to really satisfy you, obviously, completely, just like no food in the world can satisfy you and no alcohol can possibly truly satisfy a drunk. Or anybody, really, but, you know, so you keep trying to get more and more and more. That's called greed and desire. That's all. That's kina and taiva, and, you know, matzina sa'atam in ha'olam, they'll go with you through your whole life, and they'll be with you when you leave, even, some people preach. You know, so there's, you know, that doesn't make you an addict, you know what I'm saying? Defining what addiction is and what makes a person an addict is another topic. If people would like that to be a topic for a call, there's Hashem. I'd love to talk about that. But certainly most people on Guard Your Eyes are, you know, the majority are not addicts. They're just Rishayim or people who are doing Averis. Even if they're not Rishayim, they could be great people, wonderful people, but they're doing Averis. We have desires. It's very hard. It's very, very difficult. And we fail often, you know. And even those who do great, Ein Tzadik Bar, it's Hashem Yasa Tov Lo Yachata. They make mistakes once in a while. So that doesn't make you an addict, because once a year you end up looking at pornography and masturbating, you know. That doesn't make you an addict. But what does it make you is the question. And that's what Guard Your Eyes, hopefully, answers somewhere on the website. Well, what if you're not an addict, then what does that make you, you know? Unfortunately, a lot of places, it implies that you're all addicts. It's just a different level of addiction, which is not true. That's not called a level of addiction. That's called a bad habit, you know. That's not the same as an addiction, as addiction counselors will tell you. So your the choices over here for the non-addict is getting the proper perspectives and, you know, and all this stuff, and trying to quit, trying to fight the Yetzirah exactly, and trying to think about ways to, you know, think better and grow better. For an addict, those drachim don't work, because why? You're from God, you've been trying them for 25 years, and they haven't worked for you already. You know what I'm saying? But if you're 17 or 18, you're just discovering sexuality altogether. Just because you're masturbating all the time doesn't mean you're an addict. It means that you don't have no clue what to do with your sexuality yet. You need help. So you go to a therapist, a good kosher therapist, to have help with not just self-control, but learning how to relate to the fact that you have sexual power. And, you know, that's not addiction recovery. That's called growing up. And that's a wonderful thing to do. And if people don't do it and instead focus on 12 steps and all this stuff, they're really just barking up the wrong tree. So that's why I never suggest people, oh, go to SA. You masturbate, go to SA. You know, go to 12 steps. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. You're not an addict. Why would you do that to yourself? So, but there are many people who call me who say, you know, but this is my story, this is my story, that's my story. And it's like, whoa, you know? Even though they haven't been exposing themselves and having sex with strangers and all this other stuff, they've just, quote-unquote, just pornography and masturbation. But there are many signs that indicate that this is way more than just a bad habit that once in a blue moon bothers the guy, you know? So obviously there are still many on Guard Your Eyes who are addicts. Even though they're a minority, there are thousands of people come through. So there are many who are addicts. So it's just not the overwhelming majority. You know, it's a minority. So anyway, getting back to the others, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is this parsha, and I want to talk briefly about fear versus resentment. I mean, fear versus gratitude, and how it relates to the whole topic of recovery, and you know, maybe get a little bit into the parsha from that, so that it's kind of sweet. When we learn the parsha, we can think about these things too. I brought up before how everybody has to have their own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean exactly? That's based on being truly yourself. Truly being yourself. Avraham Avinu Avraham is a little different because he was the first. But Yitzchak saw Avraham, he wanted to be like his father, you right? Told us, Avraham, believe this, Yitzchak obviously looked up to his father and wanted to be like him. But we see that Ein Domet Tzadik Ben Tzadik with Tzadik, you know, Tfilas, we say that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the Tfilas of who? Of Yitzchak, more so than to the Tfilas of Yaakov. But yet Hashem, you know, Hashem listened to the tefillahs of Yitzchak. Why? Rashi says, "Ein adom tefillahs tzaddik ben tzaddik, the tefillahs tzaddik ben Rasha." And Rivka was a tzaddikus ben Rasha, a bas Rasha in our case. So the question is, you know, obviously the question is why. So again, Rav Dessler and others point out, the Sfasemis talks about it as well. What's the advantage of the tzaddik min tzaddik? Well, you know, there's different reasons for that. But Lamaisa, Yitzchak Avinu was special because it wasn't, as Rashi implies, Yitzchak saw Avraham's derech and said, oh, that's very nice, but I'm not just, this isn't going to be a Yerusha, ain't a Yerusha lach, as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Yitzchak Avinu didn't become a tzaddik simply because his father was a tzaddik and he just went along with it. No, he did his own derech. He saw Gvura and Yira Shemayim, Pachad Yitzchak. He saw that Pachad, and he did the Derech of Yira. He served Hashem in a different way than his father, and independent from his father, he was a tzaddik. In other words, even though his father was a tzaddik, he was a tzaddik. That's a tzaddik. That's the Ikar Tzaddik Ben Tzaddik. That he's a tzaddik of his own, even though his father, mother, father, was a tzaddik. He doesn't have to become a tzaddik their way. He becomes a tzaddik independently of them. That is a very, very special thing. That's Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, his own relationship. You know, that's the true tzaddik ben tzaddik. And this comes from one quality, self-honesty. Being yourself. Be yourself. To thine own self be true, as I think Aristotle put it, who the Rambam says was just a short hop, skip, and a jump away from getting actual nevuah because of his greatness of you know, chokhmah. This was, you know, to thine own self be true. Be yourself. Be yourself. Serve Hashem truly from your heart, truly the right way. And that's what the halacha is supposed to help us do, actually. If you learn Torah and keep mitzvahs properly, it's supposed to help you be yourself. What does that have to do with this? Because how do you get a relationship with Hashem that's enough to be called Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov? How is that possible? It's possible because you're true to yourself. Now, how are you true to yourself? That's the question. How are you true to yourself? What does that mean, being true to yourself? Self-honesty. Self-honesty means that I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to try and understand things my own way and do things the best way that I can. A person who's afraid to do things the best that they can imitates others. That's what the person does. They live their life imitating others and trying to do what he did. Tries to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik. In other words, not the right tzaddik ben tzaddik, but the tzaddik who's a tzaddik because the father was a tzaddik. In other words, he's trying to do it his way. That's not what we're looking for. You know? And that comes from a lack of self-honesty because of fear. Shame and fear. So this is an important nekuda to me for, you know, growing up and being real. If you want to get where you're supposed to go, get self-honesty. Now, where do we get self-honesty? I think that self-honesty, based on everything I've learned so far, self-honesty comes from one place, being honest with others. We don't get self-honesty because we want it or because you figure it out. No. All of us who are screwing around, messing around for years and years and years with the same problems over and over again, we come and guard your eyes. I'm tired, please save me, Rabbanu Shalom. If I could only stop, blah, blah, blah. Then they don't stop. Why? Because they're not really getting open and honest with anybody. Because when you tell the truth about yourself with a bag over your head, sitting in a room with another person who's wearing a bag over his head, and you don't even know if it's a his or a her, it'd be her head. They're wearing a burqa, like, you know what I mean? There's no one there, you know? It's like you're telling your truth to a cow. That's not open self-honesty. That's not open honesty to another person. Open honesty to another person means opening up to a real person, okay? I talked to a guy last night who was clean for a couple of years after he opened up to a Rebbe of his in high school. And now he's a married man with 5 kids or whatever, and he's masturbating again, looking at pornography again, and he went and he saw a therapist. It didn't really get better. And then I said, why didn't you go back to your first Rebbe and open up to him? It worked the last time. He says, well, I'm too ashamed because now I'm a grown-up and I'm still coming again with the same problem. And he thought I was all better. You know what I mean? I mean, don't you realize how much you're going to help this Rebbe by explaining to him, by your example, that he deluded himself, that he was really fixing these bachrim? Let him see that really he helped you for how long it was. He didn't really fix you, and you left the school, and he had a pat on his back, thinking, I got a notch in my belt. I saved another one, and he didn't. Let him know, not to hurt his feelings, chas v'shalom, but to let him know that that's not the solution. So then what is the solution? How did it work for 2 years, 3 years, whatever it was? How did it work? I'll tell you how it worked. Because he didn't have what to tell you. You had what to tell him. It's not what the Rebbe tells the Bacher that saves the Bacher. It's what the Bacher tells the Rebbe that saves the Bachar. It's the self-honesty. It's the fact that you opened up to him completely at the time, even though it was very hard. Like the Rebbe of Melech says in Os Yigimel of the Tzetel Katan, you open up the Mora Derech o Afil Chover Ne'eman. Don't hold back anything from him because of shame. That's going to work. Okay, you do that, it's going to work. You're going to be okay. And he was. And he didn't want to open up. So look, he loses and the Rebbe loses. Because if the Rebbe knew, then the Rebbe would start to understand it's not the pshat that I gave him advice and that fixed him, because then he would be fixed. But he's not. It's because he was honest with me. As long as we had an open, real, true, honest relationship, the relationship is what saves the person. The honesty is what saves the person. When a person is honest in a relationship, they start to taste the flavor of self-honesty, of realness with yourself, with himself. Because when I open up to somebody and I get out from my mouth something that's hard for me to say, after I say it, things change inside me. I go, you put it outside yourself and someone else hears it. That's the process. I do that. And it's like, oh, it's like Avraham Avinu said to Terach, Hashmela aznecha mashapicha medaber. Listen to your ear, let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. Through saying it to another person, your ears hear it. It now left you. Kishgogo and Pi HaMelech, it can't return. It's the truth now. But before, it was hiding inside my mind. I was coloring it with, well, it's the Derech HaMamutza, what am I supposed to be, a fanatic? I can't just change. I can't just open up and tell people that's a Chilul Hashem, it's Shalom Bayis, Mishanam Epnei HaShalom. Lies, lies, fake. All these silly excuses, using Torah, pouring water on a field of weeds, and saying, I'm learning. It's misusing Torah. That's what's going on. It all evaporates when you open up to somebody else, and because another person doesn't have the negiyas you have. They see the lies and they see their BS detector is working. Yours isn't on yourself. This is what the Gemara means when it says, "Ein Adam, Ein Chavush Mater Atzma Mideis Hasurim." You yourself are in your own prison. Everyone sober for 15, 20 years in AA, ask them, still have a sponsor. It could be somebody who has less sobriety than they do sometimes, especially for old-timers. It's possible. Why? But the big advantage of a sponsor is, and I'm not talking about a guard your eyes sponsor who you never meet and still uses a fake name. I'm talking about a real sponsor that you pick, who you get open and honest with, because they're open and honest with you. That sponsor, the best quality they have is one thing, not their chokmah, that they're not you. That's their big advantage. They're not you. Ein chavush matar atzmo mibeis ha'asurim. They don't have your negiyas, so they hear you and they can reflect back to you what you say, even without opening their mouths. Because when you say it, it bounces off of them to you again. And it becomes clear to you in a different way. Cynical people go, what? I'm going to tell him. I know it already. What? And what? Their arrogance makes it impossible to open up to another person because, oh, I'm going to open up to him. It's going to help me. Who is him already? I see the way he davens. He comes in. He puts on his tefillin. He takes off his tefillin. What? He's going to help me with this issue of Shalom Bayis. What? Oh, he's honest. You know, that's whatever it is. It's the cynicism. Every one of us is a kitzoni. Reb Zvi Meyer, Zilberberg, Shlita, Tzadik in Yerushalayim. Matrei Rachmano Patrei. Great man. He says all the time. He said, you know, I've heard him say a couple of times already, when we look at people, everyone around us is a kitzoni. Everyone around us is a kitzoni. Everyone around us is an extreme case. You know? They're all extreme. This one's shuckles too much. This one davens too long. This one this. This one that. You know? What exactly is the solution over here? guess what? He looks at me that I'm chitza, that I'm kitzoni too. You know? So then what do? Open up to another person. Get real. Realize that they have the same frailties you do. You know? Open up. Stop the game. Get real. If you can get real with yourself, you're going to be able to have Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. You'll be able to say, Elokai, Nitzor L'shani Meira, Usfasai Mida Ber Mirma. You can say that. You know, because the relationship is real. Guard your, because the relationship is real and you become real. Guard your eyes. Guard sent out a video a few years ago now, maybe like five years ago or so, or more. I don't know. Yeah, about 5 years ago. Sent around a video saying, oh, wow, look, this is wonderful. This is a guy on YouTube. He sent out a YouTube video to the mods that was a guy that it was titled something like Everything You Knew Thought You Knew About Addiction Is Wrong or something like that. And he's some guy who brings a Portuguese study, I think it was, of addicts that all got better because they all became friends with each other and had a society or something like that. And, you know, addiction's prevented because of relationships. And he proved it and he described it and explained it. It was beautiful, like a 14-minute talk. Beautiful, short, it was a TED talk. Beautiful, short talk. And Guard was very proud about how it, you know, this is like what Guard Your Eyes does and everything, right? We're opening up to other people and this and this. And I sent him back and, you know, he understood that very, very well that you know, what I was saying, you know, that this is talking about real relationships. And that's the entire point of what he says. There is no relationship with Moshe Yitzchak 770 and Tshuva 613, you know? Oh, hi, Tshuva. Hi, Moshe Yitzchak. I know that's not your real name, of course, because how can you tell your real name to me? You know, we have to stay safe, of course. You know, anonymous, right? That's not anonymous. That's secret. That's hidden from each other. There is no real relationship. There's a relationship, but it's just not a real one. Sort of like the porn, right? Where there's a relationship because she's naked, I'm getting naked, and she's a two-dimensional picture, and I'm masturbating, and guess what? I feel like there's a relationship when we're having sex, and guess what? We're not. That's the draw of porn. It's a fake relationship. You get the cow, you get the milk without having to buy the cow, you know? You get the goods without having to pay the price of really being yourself and really being real, you know? That's how Yitzchak became Yitzchak, by being self-honest. How do you have the arrogance, to grow up in the house of Avraham Avinu or Yitzchak Avinu and turn out, respectively, to be Yitzchak instead of Avraham? Totally different style of Avodas Hashem. Totally different. Coming from Yitzhak HaGvura. Mamashi was the Amud HaGvura among people, you know, Yitzchak. And then Yaakov says, well, Yitzchak's derech isn't good enough for me. Avraham's derech isn't good enough for me. I have to do Yaakov derech, which is Mishpat or Rachamim, you know, and this, and, you know, I have to do derech. Look, you're talking about the Godel Hador, and it's not just, you're not just growing up in the house of, you know, Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You're not just growing up in his house and you're his son and you're carrying on his derech. You're not just that. It's that there is no one else. There is no other tzaddik in the world for you to copy like him. You know, he's living in the generation of Avraham. There, Avraham is the man. And he says, I'm going to go my own way. It sounds like tremendous arrogance and also pretty stupid. You know, who the heck do you think you are? But he was right. He was right. How did he do that without being incredibly arrogant? How did he do that? It wasn't out of arrogance. It was out of self-honesty. He had self-honesty. Not just honesty, self-honesty. That midah for us, masturbating people, pornography using people for years, you, me, right? You've been looking, that's why you're on Guard Your Eyes, right? Because you're a firm guy, you're an Ashkan, you're a Rebbe, you're a Rosh Kollel, you're a firm accountant who's learning, you're doing the daf, you come to shul, you go to your yeshiva, you go to your work, you go among the goyim, you go among the yidden, you're the Jew, you're the firm guy, you're the this, you're the good guy, and guess what? Every now and then, you're a monster. You know, you're going and you're masturbating away in front of some woman, you know, and again and again and again, and your wife thinks, oh, and you're tricking her. You're a trickster. That's what we do. That's what we do. We're tricksters. You know, we're fakers. It's not just, I'm a good guy. Every once in a blue moon, okay, well, everybody, but for the ones who are, and that's true, but for the ones who are habitually doing this, whether you're addicts or not, I don't care. You're habitually doing it. You're a fake. We're fakes. This is me. This is me. Thank God I'm sober now, but today, but, you know, and for, thank God for years, thank God, one day at a time. But this is the problem. It's living a lie, a double life, you know? So how does that happen? We're going to become self-honest. We have that. We have the natural ability to see. Oh yeah, self-honesty. Got it. No problem. I'll just be really honest with myself. You know, really honest. It doesn't happen. It doesn't just happen like that. Bing. You know, you're self-honest. It's a skill that's learned, because it's unlearned using fantasy. You were probably self-honest when you were 6 or 7. And that changed along the way. You didn't have wisdom when you were 6 or 7, but you had self-honesty. You did what you wanted to do. Not because people were watching, but because you wanted to do it. You were true to yourself, you know? And a lot of those choices were bad choices. Punching some other kid or taking his toy, even though he's going to hate you for it, was not a very wise choice, but it was honest. Now you have the wisdom added, and you have Torah and stuff added, but you don't have the self-honesty anymore, because you've been fantasizing and masturbating your way out of reality. That's why you're here on this call, listening to this recording instead of listening to another sheer from, you know, whoever. So how does that change? Self-honesty, how do you get that from being honest with other people? That's how you get it. And that's that alone is the main message, and that's what that is exactly what the message of that YouTube talk that Guard sent around was about: real relationships. If I have a relationship and friends and I'm a chevraman and hi, I know kama v'kama chevramans, the best guy in yeshiva. I keep getting these guard-wise posts. I keep saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing the other thing. And my rabbis tell me I'm the best guy in yeshiva, and they know it, and I'm getting read the best shiduchim and this and that. And here I'm, you know, masturbating all day long. It's like, what? You know, the whole bein hazman. You know, it's like, what's going on? Why is it always the best guy in yeshiva? What's going on? You know? But anyway, it's that YouTube video said, very clearly, it was about real relationships. That's what makes a relationship real. Everybody here who's ever dated knows that, well, not everybody, but most people, I'm sure, know that what really boosted, like a rocket booster, bam, up through the atmosphere, you know, escape velocity. What was the escape velocity in your relationship with your wife? That you, from that date, you really got closer. Why? What? It wasn't kissing each other. What was it? It was being honest with each other. You told her that you have, that your father's a guy, you know? You told her that your mother is a Gioris, you know? You told her that, you know, you have an artificial eye or something, you know? And you don't tell that on the first date. You don't tell it to the shadchan. You don't tell this. You don't tell that. And this secret, you're already serious. It's after 5 dates, so it's time to be honest with something shameful that I'm going to just be between you and me. And if this date doesn't work out, you know, then please keep it a secret. It's private, you know. And I'll tell the next girl on the 5th or 6th date. Hopefully, that'll work out. But you know, I have to tell you because I got to tell you. But I'm going to wait until we're in the yichud room, and then I'll tell you that I have. By the way, I have a glass eye on my left side. You know, it's like, you can't do that. Once you tell her, guess what happens to the relationship? She suddenly says, well, I have to confess to you that, you know, I'm deaf on my left ear because I had measles as a child. I don't know, you know, or my father's an alcoholic or something, you know what I mean? Or, you know, whatever it is.
And when that honesty happens, you know, if whoever's ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. It blasts the relationship up into the stratosphere. It's incredibly closer. It's unbelievable. It's, you leave the date, and it's like I opened up to her, and then she opened up to me. It's better than sex. That's the truth. It's unbelievably intimate. It's true intimacy. That's what it is. And that is what boosts the relationship up to an incredible level. And you feel, you walk out of there, and the next day, trust me, you remembered, if this is what you experienced, you remember that you felt like nothing could hurt you now. You know? Everything's great. Life is good. You know? Connection. You felt connection. You know? Which is the Midah of Yesod, connection. True connection. You know? You felt it. So, anyway. I just want to, you know, and that comes from honesty, and that's what self-honesty is all about. Self-honesty comes from opening up to other people, not the other way around, as common wisdom would have you believe. And that's how you learn it, especially for a person who's been fantasy, because fantasy is fake. That's what it means, the word fantasy. Fantasy is not reality. So we've been practicing fakeness, and we've been putting on a fake face all along. Oh, but I know the truth inside me. You don't think you're affected? You don't think you lie to yourself a tremendous amount already? You don't think that you think you're living with a liar? You don't realize you're living with a liar? You're only a liar to them, but not to yourself? It's not true. The self-honesty is going to have to be learned, and that's the way to learn it. Relearned, rather. Recovery. Getting back what you used to have. You know, teshuva. Returning back what you used to have is a similar concept as well. It's not the same, but it's similar. You know, one's for religious reasons and one's for enlightened self-interest, which is beautiful. It's called Derech Eretz, not Torah. Derech Eretz. And that's good enough, trust me. At least for starters. Fear and gratitude. How do you have gratitude for things if you have fear? It's a hard thing for us to do. I'm going to have a hard time having true gratitude because I'm too afraid I won't get what I want, or I'm going to lose what I have. You know, I'm too afraid that they won't accept me. I'm too afraid of, you know, of lots of stuff. He's got something. Why don't I have it? You know, confusion in the mind. Oh, I need this. I need sex. I need it. I can't go to sleep without it. I need that masturbation. I need it. I need that sex. You know, I have to. It's lies we tell ourselves, you know. Fear of, you know, I'm going to die if I don't have it. I can't face that, you know. I can't face it. You can face it just fine. Don't be alone. Face it together with somebody else. Be honest and open, you know, with people who are honest and open. Where do you find such a society? You don't find it on Guard Your Eyes on the forum because you can't be open on the forum. It's not there. But if you have safe relationships in Sexaholics Anonymous, it exists. Okay? It exists for those who want it. And it can exist on Guard Your Eyes also. Guard Your Eyes is trying to make meetings where guys get together in their hometowns with other guys who have this problems, who are probably not addicts but want to be honest and open with somebody for a change. You know, and it's worthwhile trying that, you know. Open up to a therapist at least, but really open up to the therapist. Don't tell the therapist just what you want him or her to know. Tell the therapist everything. Tell the therapist everything, you know, the whole thing. All about you. All about you. Let him or her know who you are really in all the good ways, not just in the bad ways. And all the bad ways, not just the bad ways that you want them to know. You know, tell them what's in your heart. Be open, you know. And when you open up to them, you will change as a result. Because you will start to learn self-honesty. And that's what I do, and that is what I learn when I do that. So I'm sharing it with you. All right, well, Have a good day. This has gone on long enough. Have a good day, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.